Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Food, Family, and Philanthropy. I want to thank you for coming out again and listening. You know, I pour my heart and soul into this, and the fact that you take part in it with me just means the world. And I just want to say thank you. So I've talked about this, I think, on every episode I've had, how blessed and fortunate I am to have such amazing guests, and today is no different. So I'm going to talk a little bit about this person, and then we'll bring him right in and get started. So this person, we'll start off by saying, is a former NFL player. He played for the Tennessee Titans, the Buffalo Bills, the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the Baltimore Ravens. After he retired, he started up a construction company at 27 years old, and they grew rapidly. Unfortunately, they did hit some tough times, and he did have to declare for bankruptcy. However, as a family man, he did whatever he had to do to provide for his family. So he got a job as a part-time custodian, making $8.25 an hour. The great thing is he used his struggles as inspiration. Okay, so he didn't give up. He didn't say, well, this is it. Life's over. He fought back. So he started up his own podcast called Get Authentic, which is now one of the top 1% of podcasts in the world. Most importantly, he loves spending time with his daughter, going to birthday parties on the weekends, going to watch her in her musicals, Finding Nemo, and doing his podcast. That's not all he does. He's a world-renowned speaker. He has his company, Ogden Ventures, LLC. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce Marcus Ogden. Thank you so much for being here today.
How are you doing, Michael?
I am doing well. I really, really appreciate you coming, taking time out of your busy day, because I know you are a big, important man, and just taking some time with me, it means the world. I'm forever thankful. Thank you.
No doubt, man. Absolutely, man. Thanks for inviting me on.
Of course. So, you know, I want to talk about, we've met before. We met actually at this studio. I think it's about a year ago. You came in and you were doing a talk with Janine at Stellamic Studios, and and I got a chance to meet you, and you gave me some really good advice about podcasting. I was just getting into it or just starting to think about it, and you gave me some really good advice. Now, it stuck with me the whole time. I didn't listen to it at first, to be honest with you, but you were always in the back of my head. See, even a little meeting can make a big impact on somebody, just so you know. So what you told me is that if you want to do this and you're serious about it, you got to be consistent. And I didn't do that at first. I shot an episode. We had so much fun. I waited like a few more months and, you know, did another one. And then finally, when this year started, I went to Janine and I said, Janine, I am going to be there every other Tuesday at 11 a.m. If I do not show up, I want you to charge me. And I'm a man, I don't mind going to spend money on a steak dinner, but I don't want to give you money. So I show up here every other week, and I am so blessed and fortunate to have amazing guests like yourself. So again, thank you for being here today, man. And thank you for making an impact.
Right. No doubt, man.
Yeah. So why don't we go ahead and jump right into it? We'll talk a little bit about some food, because that's the first name on here. So as an offensive lineman, tell me about food. You like food? Is that your thing?
Oh, man, yeah, man. You know, I used to eat 12,000 calories a day when I played in the NFL. I was 375 pounds at my heaviest and my biggest. And just like you said, man, to me, food was everything. And I got to eat a lot of it in my job. Now, of course, as I got out of football, I had to learn how to control that.
Yeah, that's got
to
be tough.
I still love my food, man. I'm a big guy. I'm a big food guy. I like good food. I like to cook, you know, good food. And so, you know, I'm not going to shy away from going to get a steak from the store and spending it, you know, $20, $30, whatever it may be, to cook it and have it. So like you, man, I'm big on food in that regard.
That's awesome. Yeah. Speaking of steak, by the way, so I am fortunate. I married a Brazilian woman who I got one of the good ones, and her family taught me the Brazilian way to barbecue. So I have learned how to do the picanha and all that stuff. And I'm stuck at the grill at every party now because I got it. And it's awesome, man. And the best part about cooking it is you get to taste it as it comes off. So
do that. Yeah. Always the best.
Yes, sir. So obviously you've been to Florida before. I know you, obviously sure. Jacksonville, you've been here in Delray. Mm-hmm. And do you have a restaurant that you love when you come down here?
Yeah. City Oyster. I went there with Janine for lunch. Love their calamari. They had a nice cream of crab soup. And then, you know, for me, man, I'm a huge, huge lover of scallops. Like, you know, fried scallops, that's my thing. I mean, I love all seafood, crab legs, lobster, all that. But, you know, I have a real, real love for some good fried scallops.
That sounds so good, man. I'm getting hungry right now. I can't wait to go to lunch. You know, it's funny with the seafood. So growing up, we didn't have very much money in my family. We never went without, thank God. But we didn't have a ton of money. So when we were going to celebrate, my mom loved lobster. So her and I were the only ones who really ate it. So when we celebrated, her and I would share lobster. And not until, honestly, about 7 or 8 years ago did I ever try crab legs. It is so much better than lobster. I'm like,
yo, crab legs are great, man.
Oh, my
God. Good crab legs. I mean, I love some lobster, but good crab legs, man.
Yeah.
High-end quality. Mm-hmm. Man, it's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. And now I wonder if my mother ever got to try. You know, God rest her soul. I don't know if she ever got to try crab legs, but I eat enough for her now.
I hope she did, man, because you talk about top of the line right there, buddy.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Now, you live in North Carolina, right?
Correct. I'm in a little town called Fuquay Varina. I'm about a half hour outside of Raleigh, North Carolina.
Awesome. Now, in your area, do you have a favorite restaurant?
Oh, yeah, man. I go to Squid's. It's a phenomenal seafood restaurant in Chapel Hill, not that far from UNC. My ex's grandfather used to go there a lot, and then my ex's parents kind of brought me and my ex and got it on our radar, and then I started going there a lot at that time. I fell in love with Squid's. You know, from where I live, it's probably about an hour drive, you know, so if I go there, like, you know, I gotta go there because it's not close
in
any means, but when I get there, it's well worth it.
Yeah, oh, that's awesome, man. So I'm guessing they have calamari there?
Oh, yeah, man. You name it.
So let me ask you, when you're dipping your calamari, are you going for the marinara or the white sauce?
Nope. It's all about the ketchup. I'm a big ketchup guy on French fries to chicken to steak. I mean, you name it, I'm a ketchup guy. So for me, it's all about the ketchup.
Okay. So I know. Well, let me ask you this. Do you have a ketchup that you like the most?
Heinz.
Really? Okay. All right.
Yes, sir.
And I ask, you know, it's so interesting, like different things. I'm going to talk about peanut butter for just a moment. I grew up eating peanut butter. I love peanut butter. My brother and I, we've been listening to Howard Stern since I was in high school. I mean, that's a long time. And his producer, Gary Delabate, one day started talking about this peanut butter, how good it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, how? It's peanut butter. Like, I've had peanut butter. It's all good. I love it all. Oh, my God. I even threw out open jars of other peanut butter. It is the Peter Pan Honey Roasted. It is unbelievable. I have to like hide it or I will just sit there and eat an entire jar of it. It is unbelievable. If you like peanut butter, you got to try it. I'm telling you.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Why don't we talk a little sports?
Let's do it.
I don't think I want to hear the answer to this question, but who's your favorite sports team?
Sorry, guys. The Baltimore Ravens.
I knew you were going to say that. Listen, well, like I said, I think you played for the Ravens.
And I knew that you knew I was going to say that.
Yeah.
So that's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. Your brother played for them. Like I said, he did okay over there, right?
Yeah, he did all right. Not too bad. So, you know, I mean, I'm not sure. You know what I mean?
I mean, only Hall of Fame? Come on, man. That's it.
Yeah, that's all.
I have some listeners that are big Ravens fans, and they're going to be so jealous I even get to talk to you, man. There was a time, you know, as a Patriots fan, right? I'm from just outside of Boston. We're all diehard Boston everything. Mm-hmm. I hate the Ravens, just so you know.
Well, that's okay. No problem. Most people hate, you know, teams that beat them or in that regard. Mm-hmm. So I understand.
Yeah, right. There was the playoff game. I don't remember the exact year, but I do remember Ray Rice breaking through that line. And it was something like an 80-yard touchdown or something. Playoffs at a Patriots home game where we didn't lose.
Who's counting?
Yeah. Yeah. So, although, listen, Lamar Jackson's a local guy. He's here. He's from this area. That dude's one hell of an athlete, though. Man, when he came in the league, I would have bet that he was the next Robert Griffin, who, by the way, was a phenomenal athlete, but just couldn't sustain his game because he was getting injured too much. And I'm like, ah, Lamar, he's talented, but it's not going to work. It seems to be working.
Yeah, he's doing well. I mean, he's won a couple MVPs. You know, I just really hope he can get by. You know, I mean, what I don't like about Lamar, and I'd say this just in general, I didn't like when I heard, now if this is not true, then I hope it's not, but you know, people say that reported that it's been said, so I don't know if it's true or not, but it was reportedly said that he didn't like playing against Patrick Mahomes. I didn't like that because you're going to have to play and beat the best to get to that level. I mean, Patrick is going to be, in my opinion, they're going to keep being there. As long as they have him and Kelsey and a couple of key components, they're going to continue to be. I mean, they went without Tyreek Hill, one of the fastest guys in NFL history, right? So to me, if you're going to compete, if you're going to be the best, you have to beat the best.
Absolutely.
So if you're not willing to compete against the best, then I feel you're never going to reach full potential. So that's the only thing about Lamar I don't like. If that was true, if it's not, then I love everything about him. But that's one thing I don't like, because you're going to have to beat the best to become the best.
Yeah. Listen, I am a lifetime athlete, baseball and basketball. I am almost 45. Actually, Sunday I'm going to be 45 years old. I still play competitive basketball. As a matter of fact, I got a game tonight. I live for it. I absolutely love it. And I also coach 2 to 3 teams at a time, basketball. And it's my passion. I absolutely love it. And one thing is, just like you were talking about, I want to play the best. You know, we'll go to a game. We'll be playing against a kid who's probably the best player in the league. And my kids sometimes will get down. I'm like, get down. Go beat them. Go compete. There was a great quote. I believe it was Pat Summitt, who was the Tennessee women's basketball coach for a long time, University of Tennessee.
Oh, of course. Oh, yeah, of course.
She said, we're not going to win every game, but we are going to try to win every game. And that's what it's about. Listen, Tom Brady, I don't know if you've heard of him. He was a decent quarterback, right? He went out year in and year out in those tough games against Peyton Manning, against these amazing players. Not once did he ever go, oh, man, I don't want to play Peyton. He's so good. It's bring it on. We either win or we lose, but we're going to leave everything on the field.
That's what it is.
Yep.
I mean, that's business, that's life, that's podcasting, that's speaking, that's, you know, philanthropy, that's family. I mean, it doesn't matter. You need to always bring your A game. If you're not going to bring your A game to the table, then don't even bother pulling back the chair.
Yeah, it's okay to lose.
It's okay
to lose. And absolutely. I love, too, another great quote that I love is, I either win or I learn. You don't lose. You win or you learn. And when I'm coaching, I don't want to go undefeated. I want to take a hard loss, to be honest with you, because I think you learn more from that, and you learn how to grow and become better teammates and go out there next time and take it. So I am all about that. Now, do you have, so obviously you were a player, you were on the field, but do you have a favorite moment, a favorite sports moment that you were there in person?
Yeah, when my brother and the 2000 Ravens won the Super Bowl in Tampa when they beat the Giants at Tampa Stadium. That was legendary. Watching the defense and watching Ray Lewis and those guys, my brother, his guys, his teammates, his guys that he played with, you know, all those things, and be able to see it live and in living color as a college football player at the time, it was legendary.
Yeah, and you went to Howard University, correct?
Correct.
Awesome. Man, that is so cool. So cool. Now, why don't we talk about family a little bit? So,
sure.
I know you live for your daughter, man. You look at your social media. You are just such a great father, always present for her, right? I always learned growing up that kids spell love, T-I-M-E, and you are definitely doing that for her. With how busy you are and all that you do, all the travel, all everything, you are there for her. And listen, I'm the same type of dad. I'm at just about every single basketball game for my kid. My other son is a singer. I am at all of his concerts, and It's just a beautiful thing to be able to be there for them. I'm so blessed that I'm able to do that. So I know your daughter was just in a play. Tell me a little bit about it.
It was great, man. She was Breeze the turtle in the play. They had a lot of kids that were there trying out. I mean, it was just awesome, man. And like, it was just great to see all the different things they did. The music director did a great job. Production people did great. It was well run, well organized. I mean, the kids just followed everything. There were some really tough lines. So it was great, man. I had a really great time watching that last night. And I got Fair some flowers and got her a little bit of what she wanted for dinner. Like I told you, she had like a nice little, you know, like a celebration dinner, which she was all excited about. And so, yeah, man, I mean, when you're able to see that stuff and be there, it's everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And so my younger son, who is a basketball player, right? This kid lives, eats, and breathes basketball. He's going to the NBA, no doubts. That's his thing. He's going to make it on the Celtics. And the only thing is, by the way, I just need courtside seats. I'll be at every game.
That's awesome.
The cool thing is he's in fifth grade and they just did a play. They did High School Musical and he volunteered. And I was so surprised that he did it because I thought it was just basketball. He volunteered. They had rehearsal twice a week for like 5 months. It was crazy. Wow. And randomly, so he's in elementary school. The middle school was putting on The Little Mermaid. And they needed a couple of elementary school kids to be extras, kind of help out. Without even talking to us, he volunteered for it. So just last week, I went to 8 plays in 6 days. And every single time, smile ear to ear, watching my boy and his friends, his best friend Cooper, who is also a basketball kid, was the lead in High School Musical. And it was in tears watching this kid. I had no idea. And then they go out there and they're performing and it's just, it's a beautiful thing, man. It's such a beautiful thing. And I know family is so important to you as it is to me. Listen, it's in the name of my podcast, Food, Family, and Philanthropy, right? You know, talking about family, right? I'm so blessed that my brother and father get to live on the same street as me. Mm-hmm. So every Sunday we get together, Sunday family dinner. My brother, father, mother-in-law come over, me, my wife, my two boys, and we just kind of hang out, reflect on the week, have a delicious meal. My brother's been doing a lot of these TikTok recipes, and I got to tell you, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. I don't go on TikTok because I waste enough time doing other stuff, but he's been doing it, and it has just been beautiful. And I know family is important to you. Do you have other family local to where you're at?
So not local. I have two girls, two women in my life that are like my sisters. I have one brother, Jonathan. Then my two women who are very close to me, they're like my sisters, is Gina. Gina is 61. She's known me my entire life. Her mom and my grandmother were best friends and neighbors. Gina used to babysit me. And then my other sister, Jade, I've known her for over 25 years. She and my dad connected, and then I met her, and she became very close to me, close to my life, and then she was just always there for me. So I went through a divorce. I filed for divorce from my ex-wife in July of 2022, and my sisters were very much a huge part of me maintaining a positive mindset. When I was in a two-bedroom, two-bathroom, broken-down, dingy, furnished apartment, not wanting to be there and feeling like a complete failure, my sisters were giving me encouragement to move forward and kept me from dark thoughts or suicidal thoughts because I was just feeling really, really just stressed out and feeling like dark and alone. Yeah. So they were really big in helping me stay on a positive track to get out of that mindset funk that I was in as a result of having to file for divorce. It's now been almost about 2 years.
Yeah. Well, that's beautiful, man. Listen, nobody does it alone. You're so fortunate to have them, right? To just bounce ideas or tell you, hey, stupid, get out. And, you know, you're doing it wrong. You know, whatever it is, whatever type of encouragement. So beautiful to have that. Speaking of encouragement, speaking of doing good, speaking of positive energy, part of this podcast too is philanthropy, right? So I do a lot of volunteer work personally. I'm very involved with my YMCA. I'm on the board. I volunteer almost everything there. I coach sports there. I play sports there. I work out there. My kids go to camp and aftercare there. And it's a huge part of my life. Do you have a charity?
Yeah, I'm a big supporter of the Boys and Girls Club. My grandfather was a boxing trainer that worked there for over six decades. So over 60 years, he volunteered there. So I'm a huge supporter, a huge believer in the Boys and Girls Club, what it can do for children, what it can do to help the youth. So I'm always, and I always have and always will be, a huge supporter of the Boys and Girls Club of America.
That's beautiful. Listen, that's very similar to the YMCA, right? It's a for me, and with the YMCA, they are so robust. They do so much for our community. People think it's just a gym and swim, but they really do so much. My focus is the children. I want to make sure that no kid, whether no matter what's going on at home, whether it's a death in the family, a divorce, a job loss, whatever it may be, that their YMCA life doesn't change, that they can go hang out with their friends and be safe, play basketball, go swimming, all that stuff. For me, that's what I fight for. Now, the senior citizens, of course it's important. The Parkinson's disease people, of course it's important. And I care about all of them. But for me, it's the children. And I'm very, very, very passionate about it. So I have a couple of events coming up. Actually, on May 4th, we have a really cool event to celebrate Latin culture at our YMCA. It's called Baila Conmigo. It's a really cool free event. And we have music and dancing and food, and it's phenomenal. And then this year in September, there's an event that I created called Shoot for a Change. It is my baby. This is our fifth year. It is a basketball event. It's a two-day event. The first day is a three-point and free throw shooting contest, and the second day is a three-on-three tournament where every dollar we raise goes towards the YMCA's financial assistance program, and it is something that is so needed in our community. It is a beautiful 2 days. I am exhausted at the end, like dead to the world, but it's so worth it, man. Last year, we raised just over 20 grand in 2 days, and we're looking to make more this year. I can't wait. And like I said, it's our fifth year, so we're looking to go big and better. You play ball at all? Any basketball?
Yes.
Yeah? Yeah. It's such a passion, and the fact that my younger son loves it too is something we can kind of bond on together. So we go to games, we watch games. He is my biggest fan. When I play, like I'm playing tonight, he comes and encourages me. He's 11 years old, and he comes and encourages me. Daddy, you did a great job boxing out. Good shooting. I love that pass. Like, it is such a beautiful thing.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Do you have any events coming up that you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, I mean, I've got a couple of speaking events coming up. I got one in Boston, one in D.C., and then I've got a couple of things that we're going to be doing around like some charities here, not-for-profits later on in quarter three of this year. Just always wanting to kind of give back and help out in that regard, always.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, just keep doing it because you never know who you're going to affect or what it's going to do, what it could do to change someone else's world. And so just keep doing what you do, man. It's so important. We need people like you, people like me out there really doing good for the world, doing that butterfly effect, right? So keep it up. So I want to say, so first off, I want to let you know, what's your daughter's favorite type of pizza, if you don't mind my asking?
She's a cheese pizza person, for sure.
Really? How about yourself?
Meat lovers, pepperoni sausages, bacon, ham, like anything meat lovers, that's me.
All right, well, just so you know, I'm going to send you guys a couple pizzas from my favorite pizza place growing up. It's in Stoughton, Massachusetts, called Town Spa Pizza. The spot. I'm going to have them send you a couple pizzas, and you let me know what you think about it, okay?
Can't wait, brother.
I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for taking so much time to spend with me on my little podcast here. It truly means the world. You are an inspiration to many people, and I really want you to just keep doing what you're doing, just knowing that we're watching. We're watching, man. We're watching what you do, and we're trying to be like you. We're trying to set that same example and do that same thing. It has been such a pleasure, and I just wanted to say thank you so much for being here today.
No doubt, man. Thanks for having me on. I enjoyed it, and great questions, very engaging, unique, very informative podcast, and I enjoyed it. So thanks for having me on, man. It was great.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you. So everybody out there watching and listening, just know that you can download Food, Family, and Philanthropy on Spotify or Apple Music. Please download, subscribe, and leave 5 stars if you thought it was valuable. Keep listening. We're going to be having great guests coming up as well who are going to be sharing some awesome stories. So thank you so much again for watching Food, Family, and Philanthropy.